Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're joined by a woman who is a president of a homeowners association in Western Estates, California. It's the Western Estates Homeowners Association, in fact, and her name is Bobbi Dooley. She's on to talk about a good neighbor initiative that she has adopted, that her association has, and that she's hoping will be adopted by other communities. And, Bobbi, tell us what it's about, but I know that it's probably got something to do with the idea of holding marriages together.
Well, Phil, that is true, and first of all, thank you for having us on your program. And we're also right now at Western Estates celebrating our third annual Western Estates Amateur Tennis Open, which is involves young people and young adults from across the West Valley. But this started the Good Neighbor Initiative for myself and my husband Steve about 3 weeks ago. I had noticed a young couple had just moved in. And you get a sense about people. She looked very, I guess the word is haggard. She was a little slipshod in her dress. The husband is a young doctor. He looked very tired, and they were very distant. And I'd seen them at the community center that we have here, which is just a few feet from where I'm standing right now, Phil. And I knew right away what I think the problem was.
So you met a young couple that looked as if they were not happy?
Primarily, that's correct, yes.
And they were new residents?
That is correct, yes. My husband, Steve, and I are very fortunate enough to have a terrific intimate life. We have a very energetic and fulfilling sex life, for want of a better word. And I was reading about the singer Sting and his wife Trudy Stoddard and how really energetic they are in their sex life. And it's a lot like that with Steve and I. So I told Steve I wanted to talk to this young wife that I'd seen. She was at the pool one afternoon. I hope you can hear me, Phil.
Yeah, I can hear you. There's obviously a tennis match going on.
Yeah, that's right. We've got our young juniors out right now. But I told Steve I wanted to talk to her. So I saw her at the pool one day, and I guess it came pouring out. I said, I couldn't help but notice.
Yeah, so you're talking to this young wife?
Yes. And I said, I couldn't help but notice how unhappy you look. And I started to tell her about Steve and me and how, how fulfilling our sex life was.
Now, you didn't have any idea that her problem was sex, necessarily.
She hadn't said anything, but I have a very strong sense about people, and I really believe that that's probably what was at the bottom of this. So I talked to her about our sex life, about Steve and mine. Well, at the end of the talk, she started to cry. She hugged me. She thanked me. She said it was uncanny that I was really able to see what was wrong, and I told her I was happy to help her. And I got to thinking about how I could help other women who are stuck, and I told Steve that in a lot of ways, I don't know if you watch the television program Sex in the City.
Yes, I've seen that, where they sit around and they talk about their sex lives.
Well, it is like that, and because I have such a fulfilling sex life with my husband, I saw this haggard young woman, and so she was so grateful. So in the days after that, I got together on occasion with different girlfriends. We drink martinis or coffee or what have you. And we would sit down and talk, and I would say to them, okay, before you start to talk or whatever, listen to me, and then I would give them my talk about Steve and me and our sex life, and I would have it prepared. What happened was...
All right, so this Good Neighbor Initiative... Was you talking with other young women or other wives?
Yes, about how good Steve and I are at sex and what these other women are missing, and just talking to them about it. They seem very grateful. Now,
all right. Now let me give our phone number out. I know that you're getting to a part of this story here because there's a situation with the Hope. Is that the family?
The Hope family, or no, the Cope family. I'm sorry.
The Cope family. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. So you've talked to wives in your community about how great your sex life with your husband is.
But the point is not about Steve and I, but what they're missing and what it can be. What Steve and I have, maybe they can have if they have the right husband or the right pairing. So I got together with a group of women here 3 days ago. And there was a woman who'd been there a couple of times. I only knew her in passing. Her name's Susan Cope. Her husband's a tax attorney. She said something to me that I thought I almost blacked out in front of all of these women. I had been talking to these women.
And this is another one of these meetings that you had?
Yes, about how good Steve and I are in bed together. She said to me in front of these women, many of whom I've known for years, I'm sorry, but I find you very inappropriate and extremely personal, and I don't appreciate hearing about your sex life. And I was absolutely mortified.
This woman took exception. Was this the first time?
This was the first time any of these wives that I talked to had the temerity to say to me, well, I don't like what you're saying. And I was mortified. And I said to her, and I feel that I was entirely right in saying this, I said, Susan, what I just told you might benefit you because I heard from some people that you and your husband are on pretty shaky ground. Now, that's all I said.
And she then threw a drink in your face, is that right?
She picked up the martini and threw the drink in my face, yes. Now, we are talking about having her and her husband removed from our community. We can do that under our CC&Rs. Since she showed blatant disrespect for a president of a homeowners association, she has forfeited her membership. As such, she may be in violation of her purchase agreement because you have to be a member of the HOA to own.
So, Ms. Dooley, I want to be clear. You want to have this woman and her husband evicted from their home because she threw a drink in your face?
Because she embarrassed, mortified, and humiliated me when I was trying to help her. And I was trying to do something good. And I...
Are you actively trying to get her thrown out, or are you having second thoughts about this?
I am having second thoughts, only in that we had seen... you know, it's funny, Phil, it's the Lenten season, and we had seen the film, The Passion of the Lord. And I said to Steve, in the spirit of this being Easter, in other words, do I let her stay? You know, or do I weaken and I don't know.
She threw a drink in my wife's face.
I know what Steve said is...
What did he say?
She said that what they did to me, the same thing they did to Jesus. I mean, you know...
But you want to appear merciful, this being the Lenten season, and not have her thrown out.
Well, I saw The Passion of the Lord, and I said to Steve, you know what? Look at what they did to Jesus, and look what Susan Cope did to me. And, of course, it's not the same thing.
Well, I was about to say. I mean...
It's not the same thing, but the olive juice stains, I had a chenille blouse, they're never going to come out. Like Jesus, I want to forgive, but I don't think I should. And that's...
That's kind of a moral quandary that you're having right now.
Yes. But, again, I was trying to help these young women by telling them how good my sex life with my husband is, and if it was good for them, they wouldn't be as unhappy. Instead, I get a drink thrown in my face. Now, I can have this woman evicted, Phil. All it takes is the push of a button. I have the bank on speed dial, and just one push of a button. And do I let someone like Susan and Tom Cope continue to reside in our homeowners association if she has this kind of disrespect for me? I mean, what is next? And so that's what has really impeded our Good Neighbor Initiative.
Well, you know, you're telling me an awful lot of things.
I know, and I'm very sorry. I went on and on and on about this.
But essentially what you're saying is you saw a young lady that was unhappy. You told her about your sex life with your husband, how great it is, and she thanked you. And then you decided you would tell a lot of other women about your sex life with your husband, and one woman didn't like it. And
she threw a drink in my face.
Well, she didn't immediately throw the drink in your face because you said to her, look, this could help you. And then you said something that caught my ear. I've been hearing around the community your husband and you are on shaky ground. Now, that's when she threw the drink.
Well, I don't understand if there's a connection.
Well, I think when you said to her, your husband and you are on shaky ground, I think she got upset and she threw the drink in your face.
I was trying to help a woman who obviously is living in a very frigid marriage. And I got a drink thrown in my face. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take it under advisement. And maybe not have her thrown out of her home.
I would question the legality of your ability to have a woman thrown out of her home simply because she threw a drink in your face.
Well, she threw a drink in her face. Jesus.
Well, no, it's disrespect for a homeowners association president. I'm the president of an entire homeowners association. And for her to throw a drink in my face shows blatant disregard for my office, utter disrespect for who I am, and as such, she can be thrown out of the HOA. Am I going to do that? I don't know.
Well, if you were to ask my advice, I'd say you have a talk with this woman. And
no, it's beyond talking.
You know, it's beyond talking, Mr. Henry.
Well, why is it beyond talking?
She threw a cocktail in my face in front of some of my best friends, and one of them is a writer for the local Thousand Oaks Star newspaper.
It's beyond talking about it, Mr. Henry.
Is that Mr. Dooley?
Yes, it is, sir.
Hold on, Steve, I'll do it. It is beyond talking about it. And right now, it's really up to me. It's nothing I can sit down and talk with her about. But like I said, one push of
one push of the button is all it takes.
Because I have the bank on speed dial. You see, so...
All right. 1-800-449-8686 is our number here on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking with the Dooley family.
One more thing, Phil. If Susan Cope has this kind of out-of-control temper, I fear about the safety of a lot of the kids here. I fear for the safety of a lot of our elderly. We had, not in our community, but in two communities over, we had an elderly couple bound, gagged, and beaten. And you wonder, you know, when you hear about these stories, you wonder, did she do it? Did someone like her do it?
Do you suspect this woman now of having beaten an elderly couple?
That kind of a temper is the kind of temper that would do that, yes.
Do you suspect her?
I don't know.
Because I don't see really the connection. She said, you know what, I want to tell you about my husband and my sex life, and the woman said, it's too personal, I don't want to hear it. And she said, well, you could benefit from it. I hear you and your husband are on shaky ground. See, that's where I think Ms. Dooley might have gone wrong. She got a drink thrown in her face, and so now she's thinking about having the woman evicted from her home. And I said, well, can't you talk to her? Since it's beyond talking about it. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley about the Good Neighbor Initiative that they had tried to initiate, which essentially was Bobby talking to the wives in her neighborhood about how fulfilling her intimate sex life is with her husband. One of the women took exception to it, thought it was too graphic and personal. Ms. Dooley made a personal comment about her. The lady threw a drink in her face, and now we've got this situation where she may have the woman evicted. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. It sounds like the Good Neighbor Initiative is off to a bad neighbor start, if you ask me. We'll be right back. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association joins us along with her husband, Steve Dooley. They have a Good Neighbor Initiative. It's basically, Bobby, you talking to wives in the neighborhood about how fulfilling your intimate life with your husband is. You told one young lady, and she was appreciative. You told another group of women. One woman took exception and threw a drink in your face. You, I understand, were very humiliated by that. You're thinking of having her thrown out of the HOA and possibly evicted from their home.
And still, I wanted to make one more comment. We're in our mixed doubles right now, and it's going to be a little difficult for me to hear you, but essentially what you just said is true. Additionally, I am the president of the Homeowners Association, and I was told by Lori Rimshaw and Janice Greeley, who served before me, that there is a level of respect that you should give. And throwing a drink in my face goes beyond all boundaries. And, you know, my husband said if I were a man, I would have beated her. And so that's really what we're talking about.
All right, 1-800-449. So you're on the tennis court?
I'm near our community center right now.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over here to Lori. Hi, Lori. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi. call?
I'm calling because I think that it would be totally wrong for Ms. Dooley to take advantage of her position as president of the Homeowners Association and have that woman thrown out. First of all, you gave the lady unsolicited advice, and I think it was totally inappropriate to describe your sex life to her. Not everyone wants to hear that.
You could have
approached the situation totally different.
Yeah.
First of all, you should have asked her would she like some advice on how to save her marriage.
But
you didn't. And I think it would be wrong if you tried to have that woman evicted.
Can I ask you, what's wrong with me describing graphically how good it is for Steve and I?
Why would you want to do that? That's not everybody's business.
Well, doesn't that
help
you?
That is not everybody's business. And if the woman needed help with marriage, you know, there are marriage counselors out there who she could get advice from. She does not need you to give her advice about her marriage. Are you a marriage counselor?
Well, here's the thing that worries me, and I really appreciate your comment. The anger. She threw the drink in my face. Now, here are a couple of things. Janice and Tom Greeley have a beautiful Persian cat that was run over by an automobile on Thursday night. Karen and Don Stewart said their daughter Christine was yelled at by a woman in a blue car, and Susan does drive a blue Lexus. Our security guard, Sam, has found dead animals in his office.
Are you suspecting this woman of some kind of bizarre violence?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Well, do you have evidence of that?
Well, like I said, Don and Karen Stewart's cat was run over. A beautiful, award, blue ribbon winning Persian cat.
Well, I don't know. That sounds like, it sounds to me like you're having a personal issue against this woman, and I don't think it needs to go to that extreme. Maybe you need to, you know, bring it up.
Well, the thing of it is,
and have other homeowners vote about this, but I don't think it's a decision that you yourself should make.
That's a very good point.
Because this lady is, you know, paying her mortgage just like everybody else.
But she threw a drink in the face of the homeowner. And the other thing is we're having our mixed doubles and junior and senior championships this week in tennis. And it has ruined everyone's mood. I mean, we're just, tonight was our fiesta. You know, we were having margaritas and Mexican food. You can hear the crowd is enjoying. And now everyone thinks that this woman, this Susan Cope, is going to come out of nowhere. And I don't know what, throw a dead rat at them.
Has she tried to apologize to you?
Oh, no. She should, but she hasn't.
All right, listen, Lori, I got to move on. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. And I would ask Bobby if there's a place you could move to that's quieter, because I can hear the crowd there.
Phil, I'm really sorry. I'm going to try to find a little bit better place.
All right, let's go over here to Angel. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley and this lady who threw a drink in Bobby's face because she was describing her sex life to her.
I think you're actually having a huge power issue, and I just don't see you keep bringing up the drink in correlation with her now running over animals with an older couple being gagged, you know, and beaten, and, you know, you entered an area that you just should not go.
Well,
I mean, she wasn't your best friend. She's not your sister.
Yeah, right. Well, but you know what? It's weird. One minute I'm trying to do her a favor. I get a drink thrown in my face for that favor, and the next minute, animals are turning.
But in your mind,
I dropped the phone. But animals are turning up dead.
In your mind, it may have been a favor, but in her mind, you are overstepping boundaries. She did not ask you for
this
information.
Can you tell me how I overstep boundaries? Because I want to learn. I do. What did I do?
Everybody has, you know, different morals and different things that they think are appropriate to be discussed.
Yes.
And if she was your best friend or sister or somebody you had known for a long time, I don't think there would be such an issue with you going on that ground.
Are you talking about me describing the graphic details of our sex life?
Yes, because, I mean, me personally, if, you know, a lady who just lived in my subdivision came up and even if my marriage was rocky, I don't think I would want her to solicit this advice to me.
Angel, hold on. I just got to take a break. Hang the line. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley has told the women in her neighborhood the graphic details of her sex life with her husband. Some of them don't like it.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association about the Good Neighbor Initiative, which, as far as I can tell, is you telling other women that you think are unhappy about the great sex life you have with your husband.
You know what it is, Phil, more than anything else. Steve and I, yes, we do have an almost, you know, it's almost wrong. I mean, I don't mean that literally, but it's almost wrong how good it is for us. And you want to tell other women about it so that they can realize that at least there's someone else in this world that's happy, even if they're not. And maybe, with the right counseling, they can have what I have. In most of their cases, it would take a divorce. But I tell this woman this. She tells me I'm inappropriate. And when I do the very natural thing that any good neighbor would do and say, you know, there's talk going around that you and your husband are on very shaky ground, and there is talk about you personally having had some, I heard something about her having relations with some individuals I don't think you should have, or she should have.
Wait a minute. You're talking about now this woman having sex with somebody other than her husband?
That's what I heard. And so I'm trying to do her a favor, and I get a drink thrown in my face. And now, a couple is beaten and bound and gagged. Two blue ribbon winning Persian cats turn up skinned and gutted. We have two beautiful beagles that we love very much, two gorgeous beagles. We have the AKC papers on them. And I will tell you right now, I am frightened to death that we're going to find them under the wheels. She bought a brand spanking new Humvee vehicle. It's a very heavy vehicle. And I can easily see her drugging the dogs, putting them under the wheels of that Hummer.
You know what? You're really letting your imagination...
Well, I'm just very frightened.
All right, 1-800-449-866. I want to get back here to Angel. She was hanging on. Angel, go ahead.
Hey,
I'm very frightened.
I think you need to ask yourself, if she had accepted your advice gracefully and happily,
mm-hmm.
would you be accusing her of running over animals and beating and gagging older people?
Well, Angel, let me say this. I don't think there would be any bound and gagged elderly people who had been beaten with plumbing equipment, because she obviously would not have that issue. You
so
see
you're
what I'm saying?
Saying?
So it's sort of in reverse. It's like saying she's not manic, she's not rageful, so people aren't going to get hurt.
Okay, before this conversation
mm-hmm.
took place between
mm-hmm.
you two,
mm-hmm.
had you ever had any, I mean, had she ever exhibited any violent tendencies toward anyone in the neighborhood?
I can't say that she did.
That's a really good question. I mean, we're, you know...
Well, I can't... She was always a real kook. I mean, we always thought she was a kook.
I don't
she
mean
was
that,
kooky. She did a lot of things outdoors.
Mm-hmm. That you got personally offended by
mm-hmm.
her being offended instead of taking it
mm-hmm.
because you're really happy about your marriage and you think it's something you should be, you know, gung-ho about and share.
Yeah.
So I think
yeah.
now that she offended you
my
by not accepting your advice, I think that you're associating her, you know, with all
yeah.
this stuff that's going on. But
well,
I really, if you think
no.
about it logically and sanely, I don't see how she would have anything to do with those things.
Yeah, what do you mean she's a kook?
She's just a kook. She's outdoors all the time with the gardening and this and that and everything else. And it's we've got 41 full-time gardeners. I don't know what she's doing, what she's trying to prove, going outside and doing her own gardening.
But
what's that about?
That makes her kooky?
I mean, I looked at her one. I said, are you for real?
People
and
enjoy
so,
doing yard
you
know, work.
So the lady's doing her own yard work and that...
It's just a lot of things. She does her own yard work. My husband thinks she's rather... Frankly, I think that it's a relationship between a lesbian and a homosexual. And I'll tell you why. She is very much involved in a lot of masculine pursuits. You know, if this woman has so much anger as to toss a drink at me, she would have no problem strangling a bird or a dog or anything. Tell the line, Judge, you blew the call.
All right,
I honestly
Angel,
think you need to take
you.
A look at yourself.
I got to take. Thank you. I'm going to take another call, Angel. But thank you for
okay.
hanging on. We appreciate it. Let's go to Marcy on the Phil Henry Show. Marcy, go ahead.
Miss Dooley, whatever your name is, I think you're
my name's
a sick
Bobby
individual.
Dooley. Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are.
Well, I can't imagine you would compare yourself
you asked
to
me my
Jesus
name.
Christ, and I think you're the sick one, and I think you're sick by expressing and telling all these people about something that's very private.
Are you jealous?
Between a man.
Are you jealous?
Not at all, ma'am.
Well,
not at
you,
all.
I, mean, you sound,
I think you're
you
the
sound
sick
very
one.
Jealous.
Oh, no, I think you're sick. And I think that lady
sick.
You're talking about should press charges against you for defamation of character and slander.
Excuse
I
me.
Think you're a bitch.
Excuse me, defecation of character? Oh,
defamation,
my God.
Defamation, ma'am.
You're oh,
lying.
My God.
You're talking about someone. You're saying their first and last name
well,
on the phone.
First of all, you didn't.
I think you,
you
are an ugly woman.
Word. You didn't use the word properly, okay?
You're, I don't care. You're an ugly woman.
Marcy,
you're
you
very
mentioned,
ugly.
Marcy, you mentioned Jesus Christ. I was hurt just as Jesus had been hurt.
I don't care.
Okay.
You're nothing compared. You should be ashamed to compare yourself to Christ, man.
I'm not comparing
you should
myself.
Be ashamed.
No, I'm not comparing
I think you're a sick individual. I
well,
think
let,
you're
let's
very
let
sick.
Her, Marcy, let's let her respond.
I think she
I
did.
Understand that you are very angry.
Well, first of all, Marcy, you know, what I have with Steve is real good. And if you don't have that with your husband, I feel sorry for you.
I don't think that's any of your business.
Well, it's none of my business. You're right, because were I to make it my business, I'd probably find out some very sad things. But what I try to do...
All right, now you don't need to get personal with her.
That's right.
Right
she doesn't hurt me.
Well, let me tell you what I try to do. I try to tell women how good I've got it. And this woman stands up and says, that's really personal.
It is personal.
And I looked at her and I said, are you for real?
Ma'am, it is personal. Between a man and a woman, your husband and my husband and I is private. I don't advertise it, and I don't even think you got it as good as you say if you have to advertise it.
Well,
I think that's sad.
You know something, Marcy? I could turn your marriage around by telling you about one night. Just
I don't
one
care.
Night.
I don't care about one night.
We made love.
Why don't you make a porno movie?
You know something?
You're
I'm not
person.
Disgusting like that. I'm really not disgusting.
You're sad.
Like that.
You're a sad person.
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm the president of our homeowners association.
I don't care if you're the president of the United States. You can't have that woman thrown out of her house. Who do you think you are?
She has no right to throw a drink in my face.
Ma'am, if I was standing in front of you, I'd probably slap you for
me.
Comparing yourself to our Jesus Christ.
Do you think she has the right to beat an elderly couple, run over a cat?
Ma'am, I hope she sues you.
Go.
How do you know she did that?
That's a good point.
I
how
think
do you know,
you're a liar.
How do you know she did that?
There's every indication that a woman who would throw a drink, have the guts to throw a drink in my face, would skin animals.
Oh, and you're so precious, aren't you?
Well, what right? Do you realize what she did? Hold on a second. Now, that's a good shot. What she did...
Are you watching a tennis tournament? What are you talking to us?
No, she doesn't care about her daughter playing tennis. She's more interested in telling the world about her sex, which should be very private.
Marcy, I don't want to tell people about our sex, but
you
I
are.
Do want people to know...
You're telling people on the radio.
Anyone that would have the guts to throw into Bobby Dooley's face a dirty martini... would run a beagle over with a Humvee
ma'am, I think
at
you're
the drop
sick.
Of a hat.
I think you're very sick.
Well, you've said that, but you haven't
I
proved
think,
anything.
I think
so.
You're exaggerating, and I think you got some problems.
Well, you know something? Maybe you're just jealous, and that's okay.
Of you?
Yeah.
I think you're a joke.
Of course of me.
No, I think you're a joke.
How am I a joke?
You're a joke.
I'm a joke because...
You're neurotic, and
I
you're
got
a
it,
joke.
Because I got it real good, and my daughter's winning in the mixed doubles, too. Are you jealous of that, too?
I don't care. Why aren't you watching?
Okay, here are the things that make me better than you. No, my daughter's a good tennis player. Steve and I have good sex.
But you'd rather talk on the phone about your sex life instead of getting into your daughter's tennis bed.
I'm the Homeowners Association president, and you're jealous of all...
I don't care who you are.
And you're jealous of all those things.
I don't care who you are.
Those are all three things that I have that you don't have.
I don't care what you have, honey. I've got a wonderful life.
Okay.
And I don't have to get on the radio or tell all my neighbors about my sex life.
Okay, here's how
you're
I have it better
person.
Than you. Number one, I drive a...
Who never mind. All right,
You know, I bet you're not...
I've had enough. I'm
I bet you're not even married. I bet your husband walked because you're lying there
compare
like a corpse.
Don't Jesus Christ. You're a bitch.
I didn't. I simply said that they did things to Jesus, too, like they did to me. So in that way, yes, we were similar.
That's what the lady was upset with, saying that you're, you know...
Phil, they scourged Jesus. And he forgave them. This woman, Susan Cope, threw a drink in my face. I'm going to forgive her. Why is that not like what Jesus did?
Well, for one thing, they flayed the skin off of his back.
Phil, I know that. I'm not saying I'm like him. But you can't get this. I have a chenille blouse. It's not cheap. Olive juice doesn't come out of it.
Jesus.
Here is Aman. Aman, hello, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I'm disagree with the
That's bull crap.
What she,
No, the line judge blew that call.
Would you please listen to the callers, Ms. Dooley?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, ma'am. I'm a president of a homeowner association. Also, there's some rules you can do, and there's some rules you can't do. This is something really personal. If that lady had
You're the president of a homeowners association where?
Here in San Pedro, city of San Pedro, close to South Bay area.
Well,
no,
I'm in the West Valley, so it's a little different, you know.
It doesn't
Wait a minute, it doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't make any difference which part of the U.S. you are.
You know it's different.
But here's the thing. Here, listen, please.
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. If that lady had come to you and said, hey, President, you know, we have a problem. And can you tell us, please? And then you can give her advice. It's okay.
Yeah.
But, and another number, point number two, if you had to talk to her alone, not anybody around, then it's okay. I think she got offended because another people was there and you, maybe another people didn't know they have a problem
All
and you discover everything.
Ask me what's wrong with this because right now you know how difficult it is to buy a home. Steve and I were able to get 5.25% from our bank. And do you know how?
Yeah,
hold on for a minute because this is important. Because my husband is open-minded enough to allow me to provide for the loan officer at the bank a certain personal service that I won't go into, but yes, it was intimate in nature, and as a result, we got a 5.25% loan that's fixed over 30 years. Thank you.
Wait a minute.
You can laugh if you want, but 5.25 fixed over 30 years, please.
Your rate has nothing to do with the situation, what happened. We're talking about that you...
Wait a minute. Wait a second. Are you saying you gave sex to the loan officer at the bank?
No. I didn't say sex.
Well, you said something intimate.
Well, imagine it being in a car.
Hello?
I'm right here. I'm not...
You know what? I'm stunned. I'm stunned.
It was in the Kookaroo parking lot. The guy likes chicken. What do you want?
All right. I'm on...
Look, I bet you're paying 7.75 a month, aren't you? Because you aren't open enough to allow your wife to do what she needs to do for her family.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you mean, my gosh?
You're wrong. Whatever you're saying, it's wrong. You should talk to the people. If they respond, that's their...
Aman, let me give you two words. The Kookaroo parking lot. Okay, that's all you need to know.
You know what, Aman, I'm going to let you go. This woman's flipped.
I know she is.
She's a flipped freak.
Yeah, maybe they have sex with another couple and she was trying to get that lady into it, you know?
How dare you?
Okay, bye.
How dare you? You know, I love it when a foreigner who's living on our welfare and picking our vegetables laughs at me. Aman, 5.25. Bite me. Goodbye.
Well, there you go. What a grown-up person she is. Oh, my God. I got 5.25 fixed. And it was, I had two words for you. The Kookaroo parking lot. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will continue without Bobby Doolin.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off. Henry Show is back.
You do not hang up on my show. You do not. I'm back on the air, Ms. Dooley, and we're having this conversation on the air, okay?
If I want to hang up on you, I will. But you will take my phone call, and you...
I don't see why I have to take your phone call. And besides, you're in the middle of a tennis tournament.
Mr. Hendry, I have been slandered on your program. The woman said I was crazy. There are animals turning up dead. An elderly couple had a very rare bird stolen from their living room. I think Susan Cope, COPE has done it all.
All right, well, I got more phone calls on the board if you want to take them.
I don't know why I want to take calls from people who are insulting me.
Well, you know, on second thought, I think I'm going to make you take the calls. Because
I don't think you can make me do anything.
Well, yes, I can, because the fact is you call my show and insist on being back on the air.
Fine, I'll take any phone calls you want. The point is, okay, Susan Cope is a kook. She's kooky.
All right, let me go to here. I got Cindy. Cindy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. There is one point, actually two points I would like to make. Point number one is that you had said you wanted to learn to a listener earlier, that you wanted to learn from perhaps this situation.
Yes, I really do.
Okay, well, I want you to listen to one point that you have been making over and over.
By the way, Cindy, let me just jump in and tell the listeners that Ms. Dooley had a drink thrown in her face when she said to a woman, well, your marriage is on shaky ground. The lady objected to you talking about the intimate details of your sex life with your husband.
Well, you make her sound like she's the right one and I'm the wrong one.
Well, all right, go ahead, Cindy.
Okay, the point I'm trying to make is this. You have gone over and over about how she was so disrespectful to you by throwing a drink in your face.
I'm the Homeowners Association president, yes.
It doesn't matter whether you're the president of the United States or my next-door neighbor.
Well, yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
If you did that to the president of the United States, the Secret Service would have you on the ground with a fractured skull.
Let's stick to the point I'm trying to make, and that is this. You wanted to learn from this. The point is, you have been very disrespectful to the woman. Someone who has respect will ask that person for advice, or can you take the advice that I would like to give you, and give them the choice of yes or no.
But I did that. I did do that. I said to her, Susan, this is for your own good because I hear your marriage falling apart.
No, what you don't understand is, you told her. You didn't ask her.
Well, the word is out. The word's out that her marriage is in the toilet.
And,
the word's
out. If you had said that to me, I'm afraid I would have thrown a drink in your face, too. Because
you
went from being a professional homeowner's president to being down and dirty and hitting below the belt.
Well, she's obviously sexually immature and couldn't handle it. If you want to sit and have cocktails with the big girls, you got to be able to handle the conversation. Good night.
Oh, she just hung up. Cindy, thank you. I'm sorry.
Was it something I said?
Oh, she's kooky.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're sorry.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Apparently there is a new CD out by Great White called Burning House of Love. And it has if you pardon the word, it has sparked some complaints. The record company that has released it, an Italian company, Comet Records, said a producer picked the name, and the band Great White apparently he's taken a lot of flack for the name of this album, Burning House of Love. The album comprises covers of other band songs performed by Great White. The title track, originally performed by the band X, was performed by Great White as well. But
I don't understand.
You want to come in here, bud? If you want to be on mic, come on in here.
I don't get it.
What don't you get?
Well, why is that? Why are they upset?
The band Great White came out with an album called Burning House of Love.
I understand.
You didn't hear about the nightclub fire?
I heard about the nightclub fire, yeah.
That when Great White let off the pyrotechnics, all kinds of people were killed.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, man? Don't you understand that?
What's wrong with it, Burning House of Love? I don't understand.
The name of the album's Burning House of Love. These guys set fire to a nightclub. People died. Now do you get it?
No, I don't. I don't. On account of it was a nightclub, not a house.
What difference does it make, you idiot? Look at me. Look at me screaming like a woman. I'm not 3 minutes into the hour, and I'm screaming like a woman.
Well, that's your problem if you sound gay. But
I don't sound gay, Dickman. Don't you understand what the story means?
God, what a psycho, man. God, I fear for my life. You're like that lady who threw the drink in the lady's face and she killed a cat.
Are you an idiot or something? I mean, I know you're stupid, but you can't possibly be dumb enough not to understand why the band Great White would be... They got in trouble for it, okay?
Well, why didn't they call it... I don't understand. It's called a burning nightclub of love. On account of that's what burned.
Dude, it doesn't matter if it's a house or a nightclub. The burning thing is the thing they don't dig. Do you understand that?
What, are you afraid if you buy the record, then I'm going to burn up people? You don't make any sense.
I don't make sense. I'm the guy that doesn't make any sense. Okay, bud, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, see, you got in trouble now.
Yes, David.
What are you doing to the tart now?
Don't you understand what this idiot's trying to do? He comes in here and asks me stupid questions. Dumb questions.
What did he... Well, I don't understand what he... He asked you the question about the Great White, the band?
Yes, the band. And he says, I said the name of the CD is called Burning House of Love.
Okay.
And he goes, well, why's that bad?
Right.
And I said, because of the band was involved in a nightclub fire.
And then he stood out as an idiot, and he knew I was stupid and didn't think I was that stupid.
I heard him, bud. So what is your problem?
I don't have a problem, man. He's the guy that came in here and asked me about the freaking record.
Well, what's... I don't know. He asked a simple question.
Yeah, I said to him, maybe he hadn't heard, but had you not heard about the band, the nightclub fire?
Yeah, I heard about it.
You knew exactly about that Great White was the band that was that nightclub fire?
Yes.
Yeah, he knew about it. So did I.
Don't you guys get the fact that there's a relationship between an album named Burning House of Love and a band that was involved in a nightclub fire that killed hundreds?
What's wrong with it?
Yeah, what's wrong with it?
It's in bad taste.
I don't get it, bud, do you?
No, he's retarded.
Oh, okay. I see, yeah.
What are you... Oh, here he goes. He's going to do his martyr thing now.
Yeah, you're going to do your martyr thing now.
You know what I love about you, Dickman? You repeat everything he says. You repeat...
He's trying to learn, Phil. You don't teach him. All you do is scream at him. He's trying to learn.
All you do is scream at me, and you never teach me. I'm trying to learn.
You two guys are ganging up on me because it's your big Friday night kick. That's what it is. It's your Friday night kick. No, I know about it.
Oh, gee. You know, you poor baby. Go ahead, bud. Do it.
I'm sad. I'm Phil Henry. Nobody understand me.
Jeez. What a baby.
You're right.
There you go. Now, that's the kind of man I want to hear. We're right. You're wrong.
You're right, and I'm wrong.
There's no reason to draw a connection between an album called Burning House of Love by a band that also set fire to a nightclub.
Exactly. How could you expect anybody to do that?
I must be an idiot.
There you go. You're an idiot.
That's it. I'm an idiot. And I apologize, and I'll never be stupid again.
Well, I doubt if that's possible.
Good one, bud. I like that. Look, Phil, just stick to the facts of the story, okay? Don't start assuming things. It's perfectly logical to wonder what's the big uproar.
Well, there's a news story about it. Don't you think that would be, you know, that's an indication?
Oh, they make a news story about everything. They make a news story about some guy who plucked a weird-looking nose hair out of his nose.
Yeah, they'll make a news story about a guy that plucked the hair from his nose. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I hate you, man. I hate you, and I want to kill you.
Boy, you are really sick.
You're sick.
No, I may be, but, bud, as soon as David hangs up, I'm going to strangle you to death. Okay?
Well, I got to get going because there's a tennis match down at Western Estates. I'm in the mixed doubles.
See you later, David.
Goodbye.
You're not really going to be to strangle me, are you?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. But I'm going to wait for the commercial break.
Yeah, you're a liar.
No, I'm not. No, I'm going to kill you, bud.
I still don't understand how can a shark burn down a nightclub. Aren't you going to answer the question? How can a shark burn down a nightclub?
No, I'm not, bud. I'm not going to answer your question. I'm not going to do it, bud. 1-800-449-8686. Listen to the Phil Henry Show and tonight's show.
Oh, you can't act so nonchalant about it.
Yes?
Yeah, this is the FCC. You can't say I want to kill you. You can say I want to maim you or gouge your eyeballs out, but...
I'm very sorry, ma'am.
All right. Yeah, okay.
I want to maim you, bud, and gouge your eyeballs out, okay?
Yeah, you're a liar.
Okay, let me take a very quick break. This won't take long. This will be very quick and easy. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up on our show tonight, by the way, we have a new feature. It's called How Phil Influences Life. Now, we don't just make these up. Things happen that force us to create bits to somehow try to describe them. As you know, we have a feature called Life Imitates Phil. But,
yeah, I know.
Get out of here right now before you die. A horrible, slow, painful, acidic death.
Perv.
As you know, we have a thing on our show called Life Imitates Phil. And that's where we'll do a bit and then life, you know, soon follows. Well, now we're finding that bits on our show have influenced events in real life. We'll explain coming up this hour. Also, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. That's don't be looking at me like that, bud.
You're not going to kill me.
At phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Got a little more information for you on this guy Clark. Man, is this guy blowing up in his own face? Is this guy beginning to molder in his own stench? This guy Richard Clark, what a lion sack this guy is. Oh my God, dude. I mean, come on. At least if you're gonna tell a lie, make sure that nobody can dig up some stuff from like 3 minutes ago that discredits you. This dude's stuff is so all over the road, and all of the information about this guy can be readily retrieved. Past statements he's made to Congress, past statements he's made to the press. I mean, who does this guy think he's? I mean, I know we're dumb, but are we that dumb? Guy says, and the Bush administration didn't do jack, and then it turns around that he was testifying in front of Congress saying the Bush administration did all kinds of great stuff, and then he says that he tried to warn the president but he wouldn't listen, and that the Clinton administration is far more aggressive. The Clinton administration, with all due respect, I mean, there were four horrific terror strikes during the Clinton administration, and guess who the guy was that was in charge of anti-terror, the sort of anti-terror czar? Guess who that guy was through three presidents? Not two, three. Richard Clark. Three presidents. This guy was the head of the anti-terror effort in this country, and we had, throughout the Clinton administration, terror strikes that murdered hundreds of Americans. If anybody ought to be under the microscope and looked at long and hard, it's this clown who's got a lot of dumb people conned, I will admit. He's got a lot of dummies conned, but you got to be really, I mean, seriously, there's got to be like a metal plate in your head or something, man, to buy half of this. You got to be getting signals from Mars through your teeth to buy this guy when he says that, on the one hand, there was no plan for Al-Qaeda passed on to the president. On the other hand, he says that the Clinton administration tried to give the Bush administration all of this information. They wouldn't take it. One of these statements was made in front of the press. The other statement was made in front of Congress. Then they dig up old congressional testimony, which says that actually the Bush administration did a great job. And guess what this guy did 3 days after 9/11? He wrote a memo. This Richard Clark, 3 days after 9/11, wrote a memo covering his rear end and talking about how he was not responsible, and nor was the Bush administration. Now, let me tell you about this guy. This is what I think. I don't know this, but this is what I think, and I think it's a pretty good assessment. This guy, as I said, through three presidents, led the anti-terror effort in this country. He was an abysmal failure. Say whatever you want. The guy sucked. Now, when you suck at your job, let me tell you one thing that happens. You're slowly but surely phased into the background.
people don't want to take meetings with you because, you know what, it's the same old thing. The same old baloney. You're talking about stuff out of one side of your mouth, talking about it out of the other side of your mouth. Nothing you say, no recommendation you make should be taken seriously because obviously you ain't doing anything that is really, you know, of any great consequence. So gradually you get phased out. Gradually, in the case of this guy Clark, George Tenet started giving the daily security briefings. Condoleezza Rice started to get a little more juice with the president. Suddenly people had his ear, and this guy Clark couldn't get a meeting. And why not? Why take a meeting with a loser? Why take a meeting with an abject loser who can't even, doesn't even have the common decency to quit? After 9/11, I would have quit if I were that guy. Hey, man, yeah? I mean, okay, the World Trade Center once, maybe even the coal, maybe even the embassy, but now the World Trade Center again, why don't you resign? Now, this guy didn't even have the self-respect to quit. What he did do, though, is write a book full of lies, saying that he said one thing when testimony before Congress proves that he actually said something else. Now the guy's in real deep squirrel meat because guess what? This cat may be up on perjury charges. What, you know, you can say anything you want to the press. You can lie through your teeth. That's fine. No problem. But when you swear under oath before Congress and you say one thing and then maybe 6, 8 months or 2 years later you say something else, Jack, that's serious. That's like prison. This guy said under oath to Congress that the Bush administration was doing a fantastic job, did everything that they possibly could, this, that, and something else. Now he's got the stupidity to go before Congress again and this time say that they weren't doing a job. Now, which is it, Ace? Well, either way, you're sunk. The squirrels are gathering the nuts for the spring, man, and if I were you, I'd jump into one of their cheeks. As in the mouth, not the other... Okay.
FCC.
I said cheek, but I didn't mean.
It doesn't matter. You're in worse trouble than him.
So you know the facts don't lie, sports fans. I mean, if you look at them dead on, you got a guy that's a liar. Here's a guy that is blaming everything on a presidential administration that had been in power 7 whole months. 7 months. 1998, as far as I can tell, and you check my math, isn't that 2 years before the President of the United States, George Bush, was even elected, and 3 years before he took office? 1998 is when the Clinton administration formulated a plan to deal with Al-Qaeda. So they had 2 years, really 2.5 years, to get their act together with this loser, Clark. The Bush administration, 7 months into their administration, they're supposed to just all of a sudden do everything that this clown Clark couldn't do. And every step of the way, what did this guy do? Covered his rear end, covering his ass up one side and down the next, writes a memo 2 days later that says, and I'm quoting, "The spirit of national unity, when it starts to crumble, they're going to start looking for people to blame." And then he goes on to articulate how he ain't to blame. But the scary part is, in that memo, he defends not only himself, but the Bush administration. Now this guy, this loser, says, in the lamest, weakest possible kind of defense, when they said, well, why did you say one thing to the press and something else to Congress? Well, I was trying to put a good spin on it. Yeah, okay. In other words, you're a liar, is what you're saying. And not only are you a liar, you lied in Congress, you lied to the press, you lied in Congress another time. You're just a lying sack of crap, man. And your book, well, you know what? I'm going to buy it. Because you may be a liar, but you're handsome. I like you, man. I don't know what it is. I do. I like you a lot. I like this guy, Clark. I want to drink with him. Shoot some pool. I don't know. There's something about the rogue in him that I'm just attracted to, I suppose. So that's Richard Clark, and I actually was trying to tease it. I just did the whole bit here, Jan. Isn't that great? I was trying to tease my Richard Clark stuff, and I just did. Well, why not? Because the guy bugs me beyond words. And what bothers me even more is that now the hatred for this president, and again, let me just say one thing that really, really makes people angry, so I love to do it. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm a Democrat for Bush. Dig it? Yeah, you got it. And I am a Democrat. What bothers me is the hatred for George Bush. Don't make any mistake, it's pure hatred. The hatred for this guy is so deep
that now their charges against him and their arguments against him are getting thin and weak and mendacious and lame, and people still want to buy it. You know, it's like, in other words, yeah, well, it's possible. I mean, what's possible about it? Man, you're listening to a guy who's totally discredited. Well, Bush should have done something. He should have done. Clinton should have done something, man. We all should have done something. The American people should have done something. I explained this 3 or 4 nights ago. You know, while we're doing all of this, man, Al-Qaeda's getting ready for another one, baby. That Madrid job, the bodies aren't even cold on that one yet. Although I do have some information that you guys are going to find fascinating about how the terror organizations in Iraq are at each other's throats because of this Yassin assassination. They're really freaking out. And Kerry ain't exactly got all kinds of credibility. I mean, the guy is, he is not a candidate for whom people have a lot of passion. He's real milquetoast, man. Real milquetoast. And a lot of the stuff he says is beyond lame. It's high school stuff. Check this out. John Kerry says, as a war veteran, I'm really offended by Bush making jokes about the MWDs, you know, or the WMDs. He said, they must be around here somewhere. So Bush is making a crack, right? You know, people that say that this campaign's gotten too personal, Bush made a crack at his own expense, but Kerry's got to jump right on that. Why can't you ignore it, Kerry, and move on? I thought you had some plan, man. When are we going to hear about it? This guy, Kerry, he's still living back in the days when he was machine-gunning Vietnamese from his PB and smoking a joint every now and again and getting his bronze star or his bronze medal or his bronze teeth or whatever the hell he's got. Just because you're a big war hero, baby, don't make you a great president, okay? Well, I know there was Dwight Eisenhower. Was he a great president or just a handsome one? Or was he just a good golfer? What war veterans made great presidents, please? Grant? Grant drank. Okay, move on. Zach Taylor? I don't know. Whatever. Zach Taylor. Ain't he a guy that plays point guard for the Suns? All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here to Phil Henry Show. So, you know, Bush makes a joke. These guys got to jump all over on his back. Dig that. And then, on top of it, some father of a veteran, of a guy in service in Iraq says, yeah, I'm angry at that too. Hey, Dad, your son's in Iraq. We're trying to keep their morale high. You're knocking his commander-in-chief. If your son got all of his balls from your wife's side of the family, just kind of admit that and keep your big, dopey, geeky, Wally Cox trap shut. Okay? You're embarrassing your son, who's fighting for his country. Okay, you lily-livered,
I hate you.
That's a good one. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, how Phil influences life. Yeah, it happened on a radio show, not ours. You'll hear about it.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Time now for a brand new feature on The Phil Henry Show, how Phil influences life, life around us, everyday life, life that sparkles and blows and prances about the sidewalks of our fair cities. Now, on a recent show, we had Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police Brigadier Admiral, who said that they were out and about talking to people who were voicing their opinions too loudly about Michael Jackson, because he felt that if people were talking too loudly about Michael Jackson the singer, it would pollute the jury pool. Now, you're going to find, after we play this flashback of Jay talking about this, that a listener to our show called another nationally syndicated talk show to talk about this with the host. First, here's Jay Santos from a recent show talking about the Citizens Auxiliary Police Brigadier Admirals and Subcommanders going around and telling people to be quiet about Michael Jackson. You're polluting the jury pool.
First of all, I really believe, just like I guarantee you everyone does, you're innocent until proven guilty.
That's in the Constitution of the United States.
One question. Is it against the law for me to talk about Michael Jackson in public?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
No, sir.
It's bizarre, sir.
This is a gentleman.
I'm sorry. It is not.
So if it's not a gay bar, you have absolutely no right to stop me to talk about anything.
Why
no police officer has the right. No, you don't have the right.
Well, can I ask you a question? What makes you think your opinion is so interesting that the guy at three tables over wants to hear
it? It doesn't matter whether it's interesting or not. We're talking about whether we have the right or not, not whether it's interesting or not. It's whether you have the right. Since when, I live in Canada, first of all, Toronto, and it's not illegal for me to talk about anything. Since
they got
when
a constitution?
Has the United States turned into a communist country?
Are they part of
you can't voice your opinion.
Yes, Canada's not part of the Constitution of the United States, as far as I know.
It doesn't matter. I'm talking about if I lived in the States, are you telling me it's against the law for me to voice my opinion? You're not your mind. No wonder you're not a police officer.
Well, sir, can I ask
with
you a question?
With that kind of an attitude, you never will be.
No, but you're one of these guys that thinks that his opinion about Michael Jackson grabbing a kid's thing is so important.
It has nothing to do with it. It's my opinion. It's anybody's opinion.
Well, why does
one voice our opinion? That's the beauty of living in Canada. That's the beauty of living in the United States.
All I'm trying to say, Louis, all I'm trying to say to you is you think your opinion's so important, you want the guy five tables down to hear it with your thick Canadian accent and all of that. Now, I'm trying to...
Will you knock it off about the man's Canadian accent?
This is why you're not a police officer, because you're ignorant. It has nothing to do with my accent or anything else.
Excuse me, sir.
Okay, it has to do with people voicing their opinion, it's no one else's business. And if you don't like it, you can say, listen, it's not, we don't like what you're saying. Try to keep it down. But don't start threatening people. You're going to have a problem with me and the police officers.
Well, that's all I'm saying, sir. I'm just simply saying, could you keep your ignorant comments to yourself?
I would love to come down there and for you to do whatever you're going to do. I'd have you in court so fast your head would spin.
Wait a second. Well, I'm a Citizens Auxiliary Police, a Brigadier Admiral. What are you going to do?
I said, if I was in the States and you heard me talking about Michael Jackson, and you told me I got to stop talking about it, and I said, I can do what I want, you said, you're going to have a problem with me. What kind of a problem? You live with me or any other American or Canadian, you're going to have your ass in court so fast your head would spin.
Sir, you're entitled to voice your opinion about hockey or maple syrup, whatever you people do.
You're an ignorant son of a gun. That's why you'll never be a police officer. You don't know what you're talking about because of people like you that give the police officer of the United States a bad name.
Police officer of the United States?
People like you. That's an auxiliary police officer that you got to adopt.
Well, you're a citizen's auxiliary police officers. You're not even a real cop.
Hold on for just a second. The police officers of the United States of America are the most professional in the world. Make the Canadians...
I agree with you.
Make, I don't disagree with you.
You're not being professional.
Why don't you tell me about Celine Dion or something, okay?
Get off the Canadian thing.
You'll never be a police officer, buddy.
Sir, never. Sir, I'm simply
saying.
You'll
never be a police officer.
You got to keep your voice down.
And you can't keep walking around with a gun, because if you do, you probably shoot somebody.
You're an ignorant son of a gun,
and it's people like you that give the Americans a bad name. Okay? It's people like you. You can't talk about that, and if you do, you're going to have a problem with me. And then we're going to see what's going to happen.
Look, Larry.
Unbelievable. I'm listening to this on the radio,
Larry,
and I'm shaking my head.
The man's name isn't Larry, it's Louis.
Well, let's talk about the Stanley Cup. Who do you like this year?
All right, now, following that broadcast, a caller called another nationally syndicated radio show, and she wanted to know about the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Here it is.
I just had a question, and I really don't have a lot of information about it. We were listening to a radio program last night, and it was on one of the XM stations, and the guy was talking about a volunteer peace force. I had never heard of such a thing, and I just wondered if you know anything about it. A volunteer,
what was the term you used?
A volunteer police force.
They are in many communities. They have volunteer or auxiliary cops, absolutely.
In the community
I used to live in, where I was active politically, we had an auxiliary police force. They're all volunteers.
Do they have authority like regular police?
Yes, ma'am. They have a uniform and carry a gun, the whole routine. They've got to go through police school and be trained in the use of the weapon and using the other accoutrements. But sure, in smaller communities, that is not at all unusual.
I just thought it was strange because what they were talking about doing was arresting people for voicing their opinions in public.
Now wait a minute. You're going from the general to the specific.
But this, no. This is what I wanted to ask about. Can you be arrested for voicing your opinion about...
Well, first of all, what has that got to do with voluntary police?
Well, this guy was saying that the caller was a volunteer policeman, and he was saying that they were going to talk to people that were voicing their opinions too loudly about a highly publicized court case that's coming up. And
like what? And what? No, come on, be specific. What are we talking about?
They were talking about Michael Jackson.
All right.
And they were talking about contaminating the jury
pool. Oh, for crying out loud there. Honey, that you can tell me, did somebody call a talk show? Is that what you're telling me?
Sir?
Somebody called a talk show and said this?
It was on one of the XM talk shows yesterday.
Yes, ma'am, but it was a caller that expressed this point of view?
It was the man that was calling in, the caller was...
A caller, that's what I... Honey, the guy running the show has no control over callers as I over you. Don't worry about it. Somebody was blowing smoke. Really.
You're right. The host of the show doesn't have any control over the callers any more than he does. Phil influences life. This will be a regular feature since this radio show, as we continue to do this show and teach other broadcasters how to do entertaining radio, we'll continue to influence life, I'm sure. Now, I know I sound like I'm really full of myself, but right now my headphone cord is caught in the wheel of my chair, and so I'm leaning at about a 45-degree angle here at the microphone. So, in other words, it's like if it was around my neck, I would have strangled by now. So I'm going to take a very quick break, get my headphone cord unwrapped, and so you don't think I'm so, you know, high and mighty. I look like an utter idiot right now with my head. I look like a cat who, you know, has got like one eardrum pierced, you know. Huh? We'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show. Email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We got a Phil's mailbag coming up tonight. We're going to do another walk down memory lane. And a prediction that I made about Bush and Gaddafi is going to... It looks like it's coming true, man. I'm just so great. Meanwhile, I'm looking like... I look like Igor, man, and then Bride of Frankenstein just... All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Well, yeah, and then the other thing, and I'm glad somebody finally said something about it, this guy Frist, he's a senator, he said, and what's up with this Cat Clark with this big apology to the families? First of all, it isn't even your purview, pal. It's not even your right or your privilege to do that. Who are you if you're going to apologize, apologize for yourself. Okay, stupid? That's number one. Number two... They're going to declassify what you said in front of Congress in 2002, Ace, and it ain't going to look good because you said now Clinton or Bush blew it. Back then, you were praising him up one side and down the next. You're also a liar in front of the press, and your excuse for that is one that breaks every record for lame. Oh, well, I was just trying to put a positive spin on it. In other words, you're a lying sack of crap when it comes to being a public personality for the administration. I mean, what do you do? Who do you tell the truth to, man? The milkman? When you say four bottles, do you mean six? I bet you were even lying when you had to tell your wife you'd like to have sex with her. What you really mean is a guy. Or her sister. Because you've got very fond memories of that, don't you? All right, I'm going overboard a little bit. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. So that was Life Imitates, or Phil Imitates, or Something's Imitating Something. Phil Influences Life. We got a mailbag coming up. Here is Amro. Amro?
Yeah.
Amro?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. First of all, I want to mention a really important point. You know, if all of these, like if you question the credibility of Dick Clark, are you also going to question the credibility of General Zini, Ambassador Joseph Wilson, Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter?
What ain't about them right now, is it? We're talking about him.
But how,
what do you mean, but? Are you saying this guy Clark's telling the truth, or is he lying?
I think... Like,
see, here's the thing. If you want to call a man a liar, you have to have some proof.
You want to call these guys liars? Where's your proof? I got the proof this guy's a lying sack of crap. I got it right in front of me. And the Congress is going to have it from 2002 when they declassify his testimony.
We also got the proof that Bush lied about the weapons of mass destruction.
No, we don't have proof that he lied. We have proof that he was given bad intelligence the same way Clinton was. So we don't have proof that he lied.
And
we have proof that he got bad, lousy intelligence. And with a guy like this running the anti-terror department, no wonder.
And also another thing. I don't buy this, like the bull crap I was saying that you and Condoleezza Rice say that he only wrote this book just to get like revenge at the Bush administration.
Dude,
for firing
dude,
him.
It doesn't matter what I say. You ain't going to buy anything anyway, okay? You just keep thinking the way you think, believing what you believe, and,
I'm searching for the truth, all right? That's all I'm
searching for. No, you're not. No,
yeah,
you're searching for something to back up your point of view. You're not looking for truth.
Why are you so anti-democratic? That's all I'm saying.
I am a Democrat. No, you didn't say that. You were talking about Richard Clark. You didn't say anything about Democrats.
Well, I just want to understand the point.
Well, Emerald, you know what? If you go back to school and study real hard, who knows? Good things happen.
You still can't avoid the truth, man.
I just gave you the truth. You're the guy avoiding the truth. Your boy's a liar. Now, if you want the truth, there it is. The man has publicly contradicted himself.
And you think Bush is, like, sent down from heaven?
Wait a second. We're talking about this guy, Richard Clark, right now. Yes or no? Is he a liar?
Well, the whole Bush administration.
See, if you're looking for truth, you'll stare it in the face. But you keep wanting to talk about Bush. So you're like a lot of people that call talk shows, man. You don't want truth. You want to find something to back up your little point of view, which is rapidly disintegrating before your eyes.
Okay, fine. Paul O'Neill's a liar. Joseph Wilson's a liar. Like General.
Paul O'Neill's
a
liar. What did Paul O'Neill say?
He said that Bush administration, from the beginning, wanted to go to war with Iraq.
That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Richard Clark saying that Bush didn't do enough about Al-Qaeda. So now you've moved on to some other topic.
No, but I'm saying that why on and on, like many people break from their ranks.
Dude, you know what, man? Read a freaking book or something, man. Get away from talk radio. Honest to God, it's killing you. It's killing you. Turn my show off now. Get away from me. Go. Get a book. Go to the library. Read history. Read the history of intelligence in this country. Read exactly what Paul O'Neill said as opposed to what Richard Clark said. They're two completely different topics, okay? Just, if you really want truth, you ain't going to find it here, man, okay? So bug off. You ain't going to find truth in talk radio. Look, I just laid it out for you. You think the guy wants it? No, he don't want it, man. He's just another jive Friday night talk show caller. But I love him. I love him. I don't need them, but I love them. We breaking? We're not? Thank God. 1-800-449-8686. Paul O'Neill is talking about something else entirely. He's talking about Iraq. And I already explained that last night, but I'd be happy to get into it again. Here is Doug. Doug, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, hey, Phil. Love your show.
Thanks.
Well, you can't say that about Paul O'Neill, Clark, because he did say that the main issue he was concerned with was going into Iraq. He wasn't concerned about Al-Qaeda.
But President Bush did.
Separate.
You know, the Monday morning quarterbacking on this is astounding. What Bush said was this: look to see if there's an Iraq link. Now, this guy Clark, in an effort to cover his rear end, said, there is no link, Mr. President. Well, we really don't know what he said, but that's what he claims he said. Bush said, see if there is one. Okay, now I can understand maybe he was wrongheaded, but I don't think it is malicious or that it was nefarious for Bush to say, take a look at Iraq, considering the fact that their Secret Service tried to have an American president murdered.
You may be right, but you have preponderance of the evidence. If you look at
I got the preponderance of the evidence. I got all of that I need, man. You see, you've got to interpret, man. You can't just say, hey, look at this. This guy said this, and this guy said this. If that's what you want to do, then you also have to stare right in the face that Richard Clark was the anti-terror chief under Clinton and under the old guy Bush, and there were four terrorist attacks that murdered Americans, and this clown didn't do anything about it, and all he could do is blame other people. No wonder he got fired, and he's angry because he got fired.
Well, you can easily say that, but that's not necessarily the truth.
See, one minute you want me to look at the preponderance of the facts, the next minute you want to start to interpret them. What do you want me to do?
Just this administration just makes me suspicious from the get-go.
Yeah, because you're a Democrat who wants to. Yeah, because you just don't like George Bush, man.
Well,
you don't have any real reason for the man. Huh?
But I don't care for the man, but I'm willing to give him a chance. And I just see things like his press secretary.
You're not doing
resigned.
It, man. You're not doing it. You're buying into all the bullcrap. Right now, we're fighting with each other, and we ought to be getting this country marshaled for a war that's going to go on for years.
I agree with that. But I think that we could have spent spent more money on the terrorism issue and not in Iraq. The billions of dollars we spent there could have been diverted to protecting our borders, protecting our security here at home, homeland security.
Yeah, more metal detectors. What we're trying to do is we're trying to do something we haven't done. We've already done the metal detector thing. What we're trying to do is go to the actual source. Attack them at the source, where they live. We've never, the civilized world has never done that before. President Bush decided to do that. Now, you can say, no connection. You know, the Spanish authorities right now have said, hey, we don't see an Al-Qaeda connection to this train bombing. It's more of a Moroccan thing, right? So, in other words, we're supposed to just forget all about Al-Qaeda and that Madrid train bombing, and they shouldn't focus on them at all. They should just go after the Morocco guys, and anybody that wants to go after Al-Qaeda is doing a horrible disservice to the Spanish people. Is that it?
Well, how are you going to get... I mean, these guys are like weeds. They're just going to keep popping up.
Dude, exactly, man. So you can't do the September 10th thing, which is, okay, this terror organization here, this terror organization here. Now, don't you attack them. Let's go after them. We can't do... This is what Clinton did, man. He tried to do diplomacy. He tried to do all of these extradition things. He tried to treat it as if it was a 20th century problem. It's not, man. It's a 21st century problem. You can't look at Al-Qaeda as if it's separate from Al-Ansar Islam or even Hamas. It is a purge. It is a scourge, I should say, on civilization. But people who want to go back to do the September 10th thing, which is let's use diplomacy, man. That's what Kerry's about. Clinton tried it in the 80s, God bless him, or in the 90s, whenever he was president, I forget. I was drunk through most of it. God bless him. It didn't work, man. So what, are we going to go back to this stuff? And this guy Clark, all I'd like to do is rub his forehead for good luck. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up this hour, we have a... the hell is that? Hey! We have a Phil's Mailbag, a Walk Down Memory Lane, the GLAAD Awards, but first, it's time for Phil's new feature, Let's Talk About Booze. See, it was supposed to be Back in the Saddle by Gene Autry, not freaking Aerosmith. Whatever. Yes, it's time to talk about booze. Now, let me tell you why I interrupt. As you know, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, this radio show, The Phil Hendry Show, is the only real resource for information about tequila. Now, I'm not trying to say that I'm Mr. Body Shot here. I'm not saying that I can do six shots of Cuervo Gold with the lemon and the salt and the whole, you know, with my friend, impress my friends in the fraternity. I'm talking about knowing how to drink tequila. For instance, I can put away an entire bottle of Don Julio Blanco in one night and be walking around just fine. Just fine. But that's not really what I'm talking about. What I want to turn you guys on to is, whatever I can, I want to turn you on to what I believe is the world's greatest drink, tequila. And I want to turn you on to really good tequila, because a lot of you are out there with that Jose Cuervo, and it makes me want to drop to one knee, bury my face in my hands, and just shudder with sobs. Just go, and people go, Phil, can we help you? No, get away from me. Many of you, of course, think that when the bartender says, hey, we have the Jose Cuervo Reserva, you think that sounds pretty cool. A lot of you will sit there and say, what about the 1800, Phil? No. All swill, all straight out of a dog's bladder. No, I'm talking about good tequila. Now, as you know, I'm a huge, huge proponent of Don Julio Blanco and Añejo. The Reposado, well, what do I mean by this? What's Blanco, what's Reposado, what's Añejo? What the hell's tequila? Tequila is from the agave cactus in Mexico, the blue agave cactus in Mexico. And it grows in Mexico, and I don't know if they grow it in the States. It would be interesting to know if anybody has a tequila distillery here in the U.S. And hell, I'd even invest in it.
The agave cactus, as a matter of fact, takes about 7-8 years to reach maturity. It's a very difficult process, a long process. Blanco silver tequila is the tequila that's aged for a very brief time, anywhere up to 6 to 8 months. Reposado is aged anywhere from 6-8 months on up to, say, a year. And Añejo is aged anywhere from 1 year to 2 years to 3 years. And that's why I like the Añejo. It is an aged tequila. It has a nice flavor to it. It's got a good sharp flavor to it. It's smooth, but it's got a good full oaky body to it. Okay, it's got a nice finish. All that stuff you guys that drink wine, you know about drinking wine. You could probably apply a lot of that to tequila drinking. I like the silver because it's a great smooth drink, and I drink it on the rocks. You don't slam it on shot? No, I don't slam shots. The only time I'll do a shot is if I'm having a beer. I'll have a shot on the side. But generally, I just drink the tequila on the rocks. It's fantastic. No better drink. Now, we were in Aspen. When was that? Early March. And in Aspen, they got all these Australians. I don't know if you know this, but in the winter months, Australians and New Zealanders are there. They're crawling all over the place because they come up from Australia to get work in the resorts. And this guy, he's a waiter, and he says, "Mate, you know, you got to get this El Tesoro Paradiso." Now, I told you guys about Tesoro Tequila before. Their Añejo is fantastic. This is Tesoro Tequila now, not Don Julio. I would put their Añejo right up against Don Julio Añejo Tequila. But you have got to have something I had in Aspen. It's called Tesoro Paradiso. This is like nothing I've ever had before. It's tequila with a cognac kind of flavor to it. Now, I don't know whether it comes from aging or whether the way they ferment it or whatever, but it is about the best damn thing you've ever had in your life. Now, the way you drink tequila is in a snifter or in a shot. You sip it like you sip a cognac. You don't slam it. Slamming it only means that you'll be laying on the front lawn of your friend's house as really hot-looking chicks step over you on the way to your friend's car, and you're laying in a congealed pool of vomit. That's all you're ever going to get slamming tequila, and then making a real idiot out of yourself. Because once you start slamming shots, people are going to go, let's do more, I can't do anymore. And then sooner or later, you're a wuss, dude, so why even go down that road, right? You're really, with tequila, supposed to sip it. There's also a chaser called Sangrita. And I can't find it anywhere in the States, so I bring it up from Mexico with me every time I go down there. I got 3 bottles at my house right now, and when I run out of that, I got to go back to Mexico to get it, because nobody in the States ever even freaking heard about it. I have purchased it here, but you got to go, like, it's one of those things. There's a grocery store in Sacramento on 3rd, and if you know the guy, you know, I got to go there. I mean, but mostly a good chaser for tequila is just nothing, just drink it. Now, this Paradiso, this Tesoro Paradiso is the most incredible tasting. Hey, Janice, did you have any of that stuff? Because you were with us at dinner that night. You didn't? Oh, my God, was it good. And like I said, it's got a cognac flavor. Now, I don't know, what is cognac really, 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 really aged wine? I mean, it's got something to do with grape, right? Isn't cognac a grape? Whatever the hell they do with this, this is the stuff, man, let me tell you. Now, I couldn't find it. I finally found it. You know, you'll find these tequilas in some of the weirdest joints. There's a little liquor store in Oxnard that carries it. Now, Oxnard has a lot of Mexican-Americans, so maybe that's it. I walked in there, and the guy had a dusty bottle that nobody purchased. It was just sitting there. $110. Now, that's a lot of bread, right? But let me ask something. If you're going to spend that on a bottle of champagne, and you know you have because your girlfriend thinks Dom Perignon's all that, right? Am I right about that or what? Which Dom Perignon is, I don't know. I don't know anything about tequila or about champagne. I wouldn't go near it with your lips. I hate it. I can't stand the taste of it. I think that, you know what? When you throw up, when you puke, that's exactly what tequila or what champagne tastes like to me. It's like champagne. It's got that fine, refined puke taste. Yes, champagne, the very finest in puke. But if you're going to spend that kind of jack on champagne, why not spend it on a bottle of a really good tequila? So I'm telling you right now, and I've never steered you wrong ever about good tequila, this is something that you should put on the shelf along with your Don Julio Blanco and Añejo. It's called El Tesoro Paradiso. It's totally worth it. It's unreal. And I'll tell you something else. When you start serving this stuff at your house, all of your friends who thought that, you know, 1800 was the way to go, they're going to start looking at you like, God, this guy knows what he's talking about. This stuff actually tastes good. Unlike having to kind of hold your nose and grimace as you do Cuervo shots. Ever see guys do that? They take a shot of Cuervo. Yeah! Oh! Well, that's just to cover up the unending need to vomit. That's just to sort of suppress that. Come on, man, do it. Yeah, do it. And a guy does the shot, then he immediately takes the squeeze of the lemon, he takes the... And he's got the look on his face like he's just swallowed whatever came out of his cat's box. And he's just... What is that about? By the way, that lemon and salt stuff, get out of there with that, will you? Get rid of that. Lemon and salt. What's that for? That's to cover up the lousy taste of that Cuervo you're drinking. That's what that's for. Why not drink a tequila that tastes good? Anyway, that was my effort at helping you guys this evening, and all I can tell you is I hope that in future days, if you come across things that you enjoy, you'll let us know via email. This has been Phil Hendry's Booze Talk.
Phil Hendry's Booze Talk is presented by the Premier Radio Network. If you have an interesting liquor that doesn't make you throw up, call us. I'm Bud Dickman. This is Mexican music.
Yeah, I know it is. Good for you.
Well, you couldn't find it.
1-800-449-8686. Coming up, our mailbag on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, time now for Phil's mailbag. Emails that we received at phs@philhendryshow.com. Phil, I love your no-nonsense evaluation of the Middle East and how you show some of the callers to be very racist even when they start by saying they love everyone. Keep up the political commentary. Stephen J. Huntington Beach. Hi, Phil. I really enjoyed the Art Bell bit the other night when he described the message hidden in the Martian water crystals. Probably like many other listeners, I methodically wrote out the letters as they came through. In the end, I thought I would die of laughter. Love to hear Art Bell. Please bring him on as often as you can. Great show as always. Best regards, Pierre Dubord, Burnaby, Canada. Now, oh yeah, the thing that was spelled out in the ice crystals was Sean Penn is a fag. Hi, Phil. Screw anyone who has a problem with your ideas. I'm also a gun-owning Democrat that feels that this whole country is on Tidy Bowl cruise. Don't worry, you're not alone. Sincerely, C.G. Ivy. Phil, you recently commented on various NFL teams and their stadiums, and you mentioned Frozen Tundra in the context of the Minnesota Vikings' former stadium. The Frozen Tundra is and always has been in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Minnesota fans and players tremble at the very thought of Frozen Tundra. That's true, man. I misspoke. I was thinking of the old Bloomington Stadium, though, in Minnesota, which is where, as a Ram fan, you know, let me just elucidate for a moment, if I could. Growing up an L.A. Ram fan meant knowing that every year, probably in December, they were going to go up to Bloomington to play the Minnesota Vikings, and that was always a loss. It never, ever failed. Even when we had Roman Gabriel all those great years, forget it, man. I hated going up to Bloomington, ding-dang, Minnesota for that icy-looking field. And Bud Grant didn't have heaters on the sideline. He did not allow his players. Nowadays, the players' union won't allow their players to go out there without heaters. And I stood next to those heaters at Lambeau. They'll burn your hands off if you have them too. I'm being literal. They'll burn the flesh right off your hands if you got them too close. But back in the day, Grant wouldn't let his players have heaters. And so across the way, the other teams got heaters. And it was just like a psychologically deflating reality that you needed heaters. And these guys are across the way at those purple freaking shirts. And they don't need diddly squat.
And then the Rams would go on the field, and they'd try their little dump the pass out here and flare pass there and run it for a blazing 2 yards and a cloud of dust, and it sucked. Back to the mailbag. Dear Phil, one comment you made was very interesting and had me thinking. What is it going to take for this civil war among the Palestinians to transpire? Seriously, what conditions? Is it when Israel really throws off her gloves and shows no restraint? Is it when more of these child bomber stories make the press? Is it when the Israelis assassinate Arafat? Is it when the UN, heaven forbid, stands up and participates in a constructive and fair manner? The courage for a citizen's rebellion requires desperation from nothing left to lose. I guess using kids as bombs isn't desperate enough. Thanks for the stimulating, thoughtful banter last night. Donna. Hey, Phil, keep the FCC lady around. Your quick conversations with her remind me of my 3-year-old son. Daddy, can I say doo-doo? What about poo-poo? Sean Nelson. Wait a second. Yes?
Hi, it's the FCC. Did you say poo-woo or poopy-poo?
I said poo-poo.
Okay. I thought I heard you say doo-doo-doo or something like that. I have do on my finger. Did you say that?
No, ma'am. I said poo-poo and doo-doo.
All right. That's probably okay, but I'm going to have to check with Mr. Powell, but he's on a cruise right now. So, thank you.
Did I say poopy woo-woo? Phil, the one thing I do know is that you are no Democrat, despite all of your protestations to the contrary. You are in the Zell Miller category, and both of you should change your party affiliation to reflect your true nature. You often ask on your show, what is a Democrat? Let me attempt to enlighten you. A real Democrat will do everything possible to protect your sorry butt if you screw up on air and get nailed by the FCC for indecency. What? A real Democrat will do everything possible to prevent your son from being drafted into military service to fight unjustified wars disguised as preemptive strikes. A real Democrat will do everything possible to provide you and your family with affordable health care if the FCC does can your ass. A real Democrat will do everything possible to assure that your son will be able to collect his Social Security when he becomes eligible. I could go on and on, but I think you get my drift. Nah, I don't, man, but you can go on and on if you'd like. I am from the small state of Vermont, and we have already lost 6 of our native sons to this insane war. The 5th happened to be my godson. I enjoy your show, I enjoy your talent, I hate your political views, and find you somewhat hypocritical when you claim you are a lifelong Democrat. Perhaps you can enlighten me as to what being a Democrat means to you. Ronald. Be happy to, Ronald. You tree-hugging, maple-syrup-sucking... I'm kidding. Let me tell you what a Democrat is. Very simple. Republicans view government as mostly an impediment. Now, I say this with the greatest of respect to them. In other words, they believe much more good is done when you leave government as far away as possible away from the efforts of the people. It should only be there to regulate in certain instances, to protect. The Constitution says that to provide for the common welfare. Now, that's interpreted different ways. Government should provide for the common welfare and the common defense. That can be interpreted a lot of different ways. And a Democrat believes that government is a valuable partner. Now, I, as a Democrat, believe that that's my government and it's a resource and I should use it. Just because it doesn't get things right doesn't mean we can't make it get things right. It doesn't mean that every step of the way I need it holding my hand. It means that when I need it there, I can go to it, access it. We can help kids. We can help the elderly. We can help the veterans. We can help the businessman. When you say large corporations are evil, which a lot of Democrats like to say, I say large corporations are people, man. It's a collection of people. It's a lot of people as opposed to a small business, which is a very few amount of people. But it's people. Human beings work in those corporations. You're aware of that. So that's the essential difference. It's got nothing to do with Democrats being against, which essentially is what your point is, being against the Iraq war, because you don't really describe why it's an unjust war. You don't describe why it's insane. You come from an emotional place, which most Democrats are coming from these days, and it's just, it's going to kill them. You're not going to get Kerry elected. Right now, because of that
sort of scattershot approach to the world that the Democratic Party's taking. They've got this real pablum, kind of nothing candidate. This guy who's just wishy-washy from the start, believes one thing one day, another thing the next. You talk about a real Democrat does everything possible to prevent your son from being drafted into military service to fight unjustified wars disguised as preemptive strike. Why is it unjustified? You don't describe that. You just say the Democrat's doing everything possible to keep my son from being drafted. Well, no, you're not, because, first of all, the volunteer service that we have today, so there is no draft, as you know, was implemented in the administration of Richard Nixon. It was, in fact, a recommendation that he made. An all-volunteer army. So, you don't know what you're talking about there. When it comes to doing everything possible to protect me if I screw up on the air and get nailed by the FCC for indecency, you haven't done anything to protect me. There's broadcasters getting nailed left and right. But I get it. It's somebody else's fault, not yours, right? A real Democrat will do everything possible to provide you and your family with affordable health care. Where is it? I don't understand. Where is it? President Clinton tried to make it it's not here. Do everything possible? First of all, I have health care, man. You know why? Because I belong to a union. And I also have health care through my company, so I don't understand what you're talking about. And if the FCC were to can my ass, frankly, I have COBRA coverage for a certain amount of time, and then I've got to get a job. You're right. Yeah, I guess I don't get free health care if I'm unemployed. But then the Democrats ain't exactly provided that for me yet, have they? I'm a Democrat. I know what a Democrat is. Unfortunately, Ronald, you don't. Nice try. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
News is that Van Halen is going to hit the road again. Sammy Hagar is back with the band. I think personally, I was a big... I guess this makes me some kind of a wuss. You tend to be a wuss if you were a Hagar Van Halen fan as opposed to the David Lee Roth variety. I thought the Roth variety was fine. I thought it was a tad overindulgent and party-esque as opposed to the... You know, the, what do you want to call it? The sensitivity of, Sammy Hagar? Although, you know, how can you, like a song like I Can't Drive 55, you know, the beautiful sensitive feelings in a song like that? So Eddie Van Halen is with us, and, I know it's been a tough, tough year for you, Eddie. You had your tongue, half of your tongue taken out because of the tongue cancer, but this is going to be good for you, I guess, getting back on the road with Sammy and those guys, right?
I'm looking forward to working with Sammy again, yeah. But the problem that I have is the fact that he, you know, he's going to be the singer.
Right.
And I had talked to my brother Alex and also talked to Michael Anthony, and I said, well, why come by, you know? Because when David left the band and then we hired Sammy, I said, well, that's good. But then Sammy left, you know, and then we had the other guy. But then I said, well, why come by?
Well, you wanted to be the singer, man, but I, you know, you're missing your tongue.
That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is the founding member.
Yes, you're a founding member, but do you think it's feasible for you to be a singer when you have half of a tongue missing?
I think that they could have given me a shot. Yeah.
Well, I know that Mark has some music cued, and I don't know if you want to do it. Do you have the lyrics here for Hot for Teacher?
I don't even think I'm live to Hot the Teacher. I'm not talking about Hot. I built the freaking thing. I built the Vibbly Bot.
All right. Well, here is Eddie singing Hot for Teacher.
There's a lot of stuff here, but, you know.
Wow, man.
Yeah, man, the teacher's hot and all that stuff. That's all the thing.
No, I understand that. This is David, yeah, okay. Eddie Van Halen singing Hot for Teacher, folks.
Oh, yeah! Stop it! Teacher, don't you see? Don't mind the beat of my pants! Maybe I should go to hell, but maybe I'm doing well. Teacher needs to see me after school.
All right, hold on for a minute. Just a look. All right, I need a towel.
Yeah, but it's getting warmed up.
I understand that, but I'm soaking here. So if you couldn't, if you don't mind, go ahead.
I got pizza.
Okay, kill it, man. I'm soaking here.
You know, the Americans with Disabilities Act, I feel like I got a case.
No, you're not going to do that, man. You're not. Thanks for the towel. See, I'm toweling off here.
I don't give a crap about you. The point is, I got bigger than American Disabilities Act.
Are you trying to tell me that you're going to take your own band to court under the American with Disabilities Act so you can become the lead singer?
If I have to, yes, I will. Yes, I will.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, man. You're going to alienate the guys in the band.
Look, if I have a perfect right, but when they put the American Disability Act together, the whole thing.
Are you listening to yourself, man? Are you listening to what you're saying? First of all, I can understand you. Freaking listeners can't understand you.
Bill, the fact of the band, they have my name's Eddie Van Halen.
Yes, your name's Eddie Van Halen.
All right. Why can't I be the thing of the band?
Because you got half a tongue, dude. And if you're going to actually sue the band under the Americans with Disabilities Act, are you saying you legally have a right?
I have a legal right. Yes, I got a legal right.
Okay, you got a legal right. Guess what? I got a legal right not to buy your album.
No, you don't.
How are you figuring that?
Because you have to.
I'm not going to buy your freaking album if you're singing on it. Okay, now I hurt your feelings.
Just listen. See, that's me.
Yeah, you're a great guitar player. It's just that you can't sing, man. Every time you say I'm hot for teacher, I get a shower.
Aren't you so fond of the glib comments?
Look at that. You just spit on me when you said glib comments.
Oh, man, I think the clock is slow. I don't feel hobby. Class dismissed. Oh, yeah. I got the bath. I got the bath. I got the bath. I'm hot for teacher.
Kill it. Kill it. Oh, God.
I'm fine.
Have you thought about humming as a background singer? Could you...
No, it's not gonna make it.
Well, Eddie, good luck, man, but I think the Americans with Disabilities Act was intended for something other than squeezing you in as the front man for, you know, as the lead singer in your band. You're already the leader of the band, man. You're already a great guitar player. Why push your luck?
Yeah, well, I guess you're right.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Eddie Van Halen going out on tour with Sammy Hagar and the rest of the guys. Van Halen this summer. What do you think? Should Eddie be the lead singer in his band? You can certainly email us at phs@philhenryshow.com and give us your opinion. Shouldn't Eddie have the right under the American with Disabilities Act to be the lead singer of Van Halen? That's phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Here's another story about low U.S. Army morale in Iraq and suicide. Let me explain this story to you. This is another one of these how to read a news story. Whether you know this or not, this may come as a huge news flash. This might even come as a huge news flash to soldiers. Morale is always low during wartime. World War II is a classic example. Everybody thought that everyone was in kicking some real serious ass in World War II, right? Well, we were. But at the front, while the guys were slogging through it, the morale was really low. You had guys sleeping in mud. You had them sleeping in ice. They were sitting in the same foxhole, farting in each other's faces. They had to get up and go out and take a leak in the middle of the night when it was like 30 below. They had to get out after an hour's worth of sleep, get up and go into battle against the Germans. I mean, folks, and there were quoted many stories. If you read the book Citizen Soldier, many stories where the guy says, I would much prefer a warm court-martial. I would much prefer a warm court-martial to this crap. You got stories of sergeants, very veteran, hardened sergeants, going up to colonels and saying, you know what? We're not going until 8 o'clock. This guy says the story. He says, I told a colonel. Colonel says, why aren't you up there at 6:30? You know what, pal? We're not going up till 8 o'clock. What do you think of that? Now, today, of course, we would take all of that information, feed it into the marvelous process we call modern-day journalism, and it would all pour out, morale low in France, soldiers disobeying orders. It happens in every war. In Vietnam, they were fragging the officers. You know what fragging an officer is, don't you? They roll a hand grenade into an officer's tent. And even that wasn't all that prevalent, but they made it seem like it was just absolutely the worst thing that could ever happen. You talk to guys now who were in Vietnam, and they were good soldiers, dedicated to their mission. They couldn't figure out what the hell was wrong with the American people. That was their problem. Most of them were over there going, what the hell's with the American people? We're over here trying to get the job done. But all they want to do is undermine us every step of the way, man. That's what's happening now. What you do, if you're a parent, for instance, or a wife, why don't you do your soldier husband or son or daughter a huge favor? If you fear for their life, if you fear for their safety, if you fear for their mental health, don't talk to a freaking newsman about it, man. Talk to the Army if you want to. Talk to your son. You go to a newsman, he doesn't care about you. He cares about an agenda that has to do with him winning a Pulitzer Prize by exposing the farce that is the Iraq War and the War on Terror. And he's still looking for that Pulitzer, man. It'll be coming around the bend any day now. He knows it. Just if he can just keep pulling more rabbits out of his rear end on Bush. And today, what do we have? Today we have journalists who now make up stories. Now that's a new one. We now have another news story today. Some other guy made up story after story. You got him in newspaper, and you want to know why it's happening? Because the print journalists realize it's over. They're losing the battle to the internet, and now they have to concoct stories. There was the LA Times right in there with the New York Times making stuff up. They got people over there that are reporting things that just absolutely isn't true. But why? You got to make it interesting. Why is that? Because the guy would much rather sit at his computer terminal and read all the, you know, read the blogs and read all the message boards and read all the other cool stuff that's on the internet and not your boring reporting in your newspaper. People are getting a little smarter, but not so smart as to understand what's going on with these reports of low morale. Soldiers in war have depression, you know, it's kind of tough. I mean, I don't know, shooting at you and having trench foot and having a cold or maybe even pneumonia, and you still got to go into battle, and because no one cares that you got a cold or pneumonia, Jack. You're going to get up there and you're going to do it. Now, this may come as a raging shock to a lot of people, but before the Gulf War started, you remember the Gulf War that the whole world was behind and everybody was just in love with and everyone thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread? You know that Gulf War, right? You know the soldiers were grousing and bitching about that one, too? During Desert Shield, when they were sitting out in the desert, they were bellyaching, and it was about morale, and the news media was right all over that, man. Hey, yeah, the morale's lousy in Desert Shield. And it took Colin Powell, who at the time was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, to go over there and kick some rear end. And he basically went over and he told these young soldiers, 18, 19-year-old guys, he says, look, you guys are soldiers. You're supposed to be dirty and tired. And you get shot at. Now, that's your job. Shut up, and everything's going to be fine. And the guys, they all, you know, fell in the line. But today, what are we trying to do? Are you trying to get them killed? Because that's what you're trying to do. Hey, the morale's really low. Which is, if it is, man, all it's going to do is make them more depressed, and you're going to get some people killed. Yes, they're dying. I understand that. It's a war. It's horrible. I'm the only guy on the air that I've ever heard who says on periodically, thank God for those guys over there. I'm glad you're there. I hope you come home safe. And I hope your mission is a complete 100% fantastic success. I don't ever hear anybody saying that. All I hear people say is, and you know, the morale's low, and the wife is on TV, and she's crying about this, and she's crying about that. Why don't you do your husband a favor and shut up when a reporter comes around? Talk to the Army about it. Talk to the military about it. Talk to a congressman. I know. Talk to John Kerry. I'm sure he'd love to hear you about that. Although I have to tell you, he'd probably blab it to the news media as soon as he heard it. You think he gives a crap? Everybody's got the bright ideas, man. Everyone knows how to work this thing now that it's started, right? I'll tell you, I told a guy last hour, this is an enemy that is just one
monolithic piece of trash. It's called the terrorist. It doesn't matter what organization he belongs to, folks. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that, you know, it wasn't Al-Qaeda, it was Al-Ansar Islam, and it wasn't from Morocco, it was Libya. They're blowing up trains, they're blowing up buildings, they're killing people. Are you trying to tell me that we have to sit there and get the ID card from terrorists to make sure they're in the right organization before we go after them? Is that what you're saying? This is September 10th thinking, man. Get into the 21st century. Let's start moving. Quit hanging onto the lamppost and hanging onto your rear ends. Not you guys, but, you know, these knuckleheads that we all have to deal with. See what I'm saying? All right, listen, we're going to do a walk down memory lane, and then I'm going to go and just blow my brains out because my morale is crashing as I speak. Oh, that might be my blood sugar, though. I don't know. Maybe I just need a McDonald's quarter pounder with cheese. Phil, the first time I heard your show a couple of years ago, you had a guest on who made a TV show where a car was headed for a cliff and four people were in the car and the last person to jump out won money. The bit was great, maybe because I thought it was real. I don't know who the guest was, but if you could dig it up, that'd be fantastic. Thanks, a fan in Alaska. Well, it was from October 2001. Brad Rifkin, a TV producer, had two welfare mothers get into cars and race toward a cliff. The first one to jump out of the car lost, and the other one won $100,000. He had welfare mothers playing chicken.
I'm sick. I'm just sick that someone would want to put this on TV in front of children first to see.
I can't hear the caller. Could you speak up, ma'am?
We're having a little...
I'm sick. I'm utterly disgusted with you that you would want... I believe that some woman would jump.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
You're disgusted with a program that gets women off of welfare that helps.
No, I'm disgusted with the fact that you would want my children to watch someone jump over the cliff to try to save their children's lives.
Well, no, wait a minute. They're not jumping off the cliff, right?
No, they don't.
No.
They jump out of the car, ma'am. They jump out. It's just that the first person to jump out of the car is gutless. The other one gets the $100,000.
Right. And you're telling me that some woman who is on welfare, who has four children, is not going to be so desperate that she would stay in the car so that her children would be able to sue this television station.
That's a good point. What happens if she stays?
And be made for the rest of their lives.
No, no, because the rule clearly states to get the $100,000, you got to jump out of the car. If you stay in the car and go over the cliff, all bets are off. You don't get the money.
Oh, come on. She stayed in the car. She had the guts.
Yeah, but she didn't have the brains, okay? I mean, the show's about...
Well, then why don't you call it You Got Brains or something?
Well, you got to have guts. They sign a release form, first of all. I don't know what the caller's name is.
It's Becky.
Becky. They sign a release form. This is standard in all television.
Sure.
So, good luck.
So, well, I'm disgusted.
I don't know if you're... I don't think you're on welfare. You're speaking in the third person. You're not on welfare, right?
No, but I would not want my children watching people being...
What about the kids? Yeah. What about children watching this on TV?
Children watching mothers that love their children so much that they would race toward death, I think is inspiring. And I think that there are probably a lot of women out there that wouldn't want their kids to watch it because they don't want the kids to think, look, that mommy's better than mine. What about that?
Well, I think that's a...
I
think I wouldn't want my children watching it.
You think your kids would see that show and say, look, mommy, look what that mother would do for her children. Why don't you get into a jalopy
and race toward a cliff?
Well,
right.
Yeah, see?
Why don't my children get in a car and go race toward the cliff? Because look how much fun it is, and maybe somebody will pay me $100,000.
So you wouldn't die for your kids? So in other words, I just want to be clear. You wouldn't die for your kids. I mean,
I would die for my...
You wouldn't die for your kids.
No, that is not.
Would you die for your kids or would you not? See, that's the question, Becky. On you haven't got the guts. Would you die for your kids or not?
I wouldn't want my kids dying because they thought they could get $100,000.
Forget about the sales job.
What's that, ma'am?
I wouldn't want my kids driving a car towards a cliff hoping that they could win this $100,000 because they saw it on TV.
What, are you crazy? It's for welfare mothers. It isn't for... I can't explain it. Look,
so you expect every child...
Okay, look, we got to...
No, it's 5 minute avails, the 5 minute national...
Forget about how many spots you're going to be selling on this thing, okay? I'm just trying to find out, you know, the morality of this.
The morality is clear. A mother loves her children.
mother.
There he is, Brad Rifkin from October 2001. A walk down memory lane. You haven't got the you haven't got the guts is the name of it. So these two welfare mothers play chicken. It's a chicky run, basically, for money. Hey, now that's, why don't they do that on TV? Yeah, come on. Who's got the guts out there in TV land? All you here's my pitch. Two cats race toward a cliff in cars. First guy to jumps chicken. The second guy wins 100 G's every week. Are you telling me people wouldn't watch that? That's my idea. My idea. Actually, I saw it in Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean, but it's my idea.